Lord, because you're worthy of our worship, worthy of us singing praises to you, of rejoicing and being glad in you. Lord, you're worthy of all that we have to give you. And we acknowledge that what we have to give you came from you, Lord, so we're grateful that we can offer ourselves to you as living sacrifices to be holy and pleasing in your sight. And we do thank you, Lord Jesus, that you offered yourself. Thank you, Father, for giving Jesus to offer himself in our place. We thank you, Lord, that he came in the crib, but he came to go to the cross. We can't disconnect him, Father. We're thankful, Lord, that Jesus came, but he grew and he lived and he died and he rose. And he's coming back again. We're thankful for that, Lord. And we pray that that will make a difference in our lives, even today, Lord, that as we look forward to his coming, that his coming, second coming, would be impressed upon us, Lord, and that it would make a significant difference in how we think and how we view the world, how we view ourselves and others, Lord, and how we live our lives day by day. We thank you for the peace of Christ, dear Father. Not as the world gives peace, you said in your word, Lord, but you give us peace within, even though there may not be peace on the outside. We're grateful, Lord, that our hearts and our minds can yet be at rest because of you, because of Jesus Christ, the bread of life, who feeds us day by day, nourishes our soul, gives us what we need. We're thankful. So, Father, I pray that you would help all of us who have gathered here today, that you would help us to see Jesus, Lord, no one else, nothing else. Receive him new and fresh, Lord, wherever we might be, and walk on this earth. Help us to see Christ. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. I'm glad to be here today. God is good. Jesus is alive. And he's coming back again. Amen. That's what the Bible tells me. That's the way I read it. Because that's what is written, is that he's coming back again. As his followers, we ought to be glad about that and thankful for that very fact that Jesus Christ is coming back. Excuse me, that he is coming back for all those who are looking forward to his return. Not everyone is looking forward to his return. Some people don't think about his return. I'm praying that that will not be the case here. You know, and a lot of places do. A lot of people do think about it, but there are those who don't. So my task is to share the truth and pray that that truth will sink in, that Jesus is coming back.
Yes, he is.
He really came, he died, and he got up from the grave. And he's really coming back again someday. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We, every Christmas time, we take up an offering, a Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Lottie Moon was a missionary, and we take up an offering for missionaries in our denomination. They serve overseas. This is an offering for international missions. We have over 45,000 missionaries serving across the globe. So if you are so inclined, the Lord moves on your heart, give an extra offering. Every dollar helps. You can give a dollar. You give 10, you give 100, whatever the Lord lays on your heart, you can give, and it helps those missionaries to share the gospel across the globe. Amen. Amen. Won't you turn with me to the gospel according to John as we finish up today on some verses in there. There's much more that could be covered in here, but I'm going to cover verses 35. Again, we went into 35 last week, but I'm going to review some and cover a little bit there today. 35 through 40, we'll do that today. But there's one thing I'm discovering as I have more time to invest in the Word. You cannot exhaust the Word of God because it's God. It's His mind. It's what the truth that he wanted us to know. So we'll read from John chapter 6, beginning at verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day." Amen. Amen. Jesus, the bread of life. Jesus, the bread of life. In the movie, and it's my favorite Christmas time movie. It's a wonderful life. Yeah. I don't know how everybody knows that. But my favorite all-time Christmas movie, which I understand they're trying to take off the screens now. That's a sermon for another day. But in my most favorite movie, Christmas time movie, It's a Wonderful Life, George Bailey, main character. George Bailey didn't think his life was so wonderful. No, he didn't take vacations that he wanted to take. He didn't have the fancy cars or the fine clothes. He didn't have the material possessions that many people use to define success and make them feel like they have a fulfilled life. So he thought he was not a success, and he thought his life was not fulfilled. But God had to teach him that he had already had what he needed to be fulfilled. He already had it, and where he had it was in the relationships with the people that he had. He had, in fact, a wonderful life because of people and not possessions. No, eternal life is the life that God has for us. And when we come to Jesus and believe in him, we can discover that we too, in Christ, we have all that we need to have a wonderful life. You may be thinking or feeling that life is not so wonderful now for you. I don't know where you are, but the Lord knows where you are. You may be thinking or feeling that your life is not so wonderful because of certain circumstances, because of what you don't have that you think you need to have in order to be fulfilled in life. But in our text, Jesus describes himself as the bread of life. He said, "I am the bread of life." And when Jesus is your bread of life, true fulfillment is experienced by those who believe that Jesus is the one who gives eternal life. And eternal life is the life that God has for us in Jesus. And that life that Father God has for us in Jesus, it is, without doubt, a wonderful life. It's not a perfect life. It's not a problem-free life. It's not a pain-free life. But in Christ, it's a wonderful life. And our objective is to be satisfied. Many people aren't satisfied where they are in their lives now. Our objective is to be satisfied by Jesus, I will say that, by Jesus, and with Jesus as the source and sustenance for our bodies. If we have Jesus, and if he has us, then No matter where we are in life, I believe we can be satisfied as we define satisfaction as something that he gives us on the inside. Something he gives us on the inside. A couple of points we want to make today from our passage today in verse 35, which we really covered last week, but I was inclined to say a little bit more about it, maybe a little redundant this week, but it needs to be said again, and I'll say it. One, those who come to Jesus experience true fulfillment because they believe that he is the only one and he is the one who is capable of satisfying our thirsty souls. Jesus is the one who is capable of satisfying our thirsty souls. Remember, he told the people that he was talking with him. They came after him after they saw him multiply the fish and the loaves. He said to them, you seek me not because you want me. Not because you want me. Not because you want to have a relationship with me. But you seek me because what you want are temporal things that you think you can get from me. But see, those who come to Jesus realize that it's not just the external, it's the internal. It's something that we need deep within. We want to be fulfilled in life. I do, and I'm sure you do too. We want to have our needs met. We want to be satisfied with ourselves and our relationships and school and our careers. All of us want that. We want to look at our lives and we want to feel like, hey, I am fulfilled with my life. But see, the critical truth that Jesus makes here is that without him in our lives, it is impossible to experience true fulfillment. Impossible. Why is this true? Well, it's true because we were created for more than accomplishing our career goals or our financial goals or our relational goals. We were created for more than acquiring the riches of this age, the things that we can accumulate. And we were created even for more than the personal relationships that we have with people. No matter how much we love people, how much we're loved by people, there's still going to be something missing, Jesus would say, if we don't have him. See, we were created to know God. Love him with the totality of our being and serve him in the entirety of our lives. Says it in Colossians. I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm going to keep sounding like a broken record because it says that we were created by him and for him. By him and for him. And if we don't have him, you can't be satisfied. So, if I have all the material possessions I could ever want, but I haven't come to Jesus because I don't think I need him, or I don't think he adds any value to my life, and I don't believe that he is God the Son who gave his life for the forgiveness of my sins. If I have what I want, but I don't have Jesus in my heart is still going to be dissatisfied because Jesus is not included. I may have concluded that I did it my way. And I will be pleased with my possessions, but my soul will still be unfulfilled because it's missing Jesus, because we were made to be in relationship with him. You see, his absence can create a fear, and it does. Fear. When we face the threat of loss and we have an insatiable desire for more, to try to fill the void, a void that can only be filled by Jesus. See, I may even give to the poor or whatever needs that people have, and involve myself in the lives of others. I give for the well-being of others because something in me says this is the right thing to do. Yet, Because I have not accepted that the poverty of my heart is because I have not believed in Jesus who gave his life on the cross so that I can experience eternal and receive and experience eternal life. I do not experience the lasting fulfillment and peace because Jesus is the only one who can give me that peace. See, we can get a temporary high. A temporary high, I call it. From our pursuits. Trivial pursuits. They're trivial in light of what the message that Jesus is conveying here. That he's the bread of life and we need him. But we can get a high off of pursuing all of these other things. Filling our lives with temporal possessions and working hard and sucking down alcohol and sex and drugs and even doing good things. We can get a temporary high off of these things. Let's be honest, right? Yeah, those things can make us feel good in the moment. But these are temporary things. And they allow us to take a brief vacation from the emptiness that lingers within our hearts. See, our souls thirst for the living God. And those who come to Jesus, the one who was and is the living God in the flesh, they have realized and accepted the futility of making plans, chasing dreams, and even doing helpful things for others apart from your relationship. Psalm 42:2 says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Before God. See, if we want to experience fulfillment, we must see that what we're missing is someone within, not something without. Someone, and that someone is Jesus. It's not the possessions that we have that fulfill our thirsty souls. It is a person, and that one person is Jesus Christ himself. See, Jesus makes himself, when he said in verse 35, he said, I'm the bread of life. Jesus makes himself known as the source of sustenance of life. He makes that divine proclamation about himself. I am the bread of life. He makes it official to those that he was talking to there in the synagogue, and he makes it clear to those listening in this place today. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the one who gives you life, and I am the one who sustains your life. And he says, come to me, and I will fill your life. You will be satisfied. You never get hungry. You never go thirsty. He was talking about inside. See, our life lesson here is this. Coming to Jesus and believing in him is the requirement to receive and experience eternal life. Jesus said, the one who comes to me. He said in verse 36, he said, but I said to you that you have seen me, but you do not believe. You have not come and believed in me. See, they saw Jesus and what he did, but they did not believe who he was. What did they see? They saw Jesus through fleshly eyes. They saw him perform the miracles, as we talked about. They saw him do things that were impossible for an ordinary man to do. They saw in him the potential to have their personal agendas fulfilled, as we talked about, right? That you come to me not because you see me. They saw him as someone who would be a great political deliverer, bringing them victory over Roman rule and restoring Israel to prominence. That's what they saw. But what they didn't see is him being the Messiah. They saw what he did, but they didn't see why. They didn't see that what he did was a means to reveal who he is. Now, I have to say that. They didn't see that what he did was a means to reveal who he is. You have not seen me. You have not come to me. They did not see who Jesus was, and they did not see, because of who he is, their need to believe in him and him alone as the Messiah. They didn't see that Jesus does not just give us things in life to fulfill life. He gives people himself. Himself. And fulfills man's deepest longings and need. Well, what did they believe? Jesus engaged the people here in discourse, in dialogue, which at this point was really him was talking to them. They didn't believe that he is the source and sustenance of life. They didn't believe that he was the bread of life. And I ask this question as I move on here. What's the consequence of not coming to Jesus and believing that he is the I Am? That he's the bread of life? See, the consequence of spiritual death, separation from God, confinement to eternal punishment, and the consequence really on this side, which Jesus doesn't bring out here, but which I've mentioned on this side, it's dissatisfaction with life as a whole, too. I don't care, and I said, how happy I may seem to be if I don't have Jesus, I'm not really content inside. But the ultimate consequence, which Jesus wanted them to get to, was that without him, you don't have eternal life. In John 8:24, it reads where Jesus says, "And therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. You will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." See, what we must believe is that Jesus is who he claimed to be, that he is the great I Am, that he is the eternal one. Yes, he came and took on human flesh, but he's always been. He's eternal. He just took on flesh to come to this earth so that he could give his life on the cross for our sins. But he says, unless you believe that I am, in John 8:58, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. I have always existed. I am. I was the one talking to Abraham, talking to Moses in the burning bush." And here in the text of John 6, he proclaimed and demonstrated his power to do for people what Moses or Abraham nor anyone else could do, and that's give people eternal life. You see, the issue with belief is not whether we can see God, not physically, we can't see him physically, but whether we see him with the eyes of faith, the eyes of belief. The issue we believe is not whether we can see God, because he reveals himself to us in various ways. Whatever we need, he's going to make sure that we get the message. But ultimately, he's given that message already in the Word, as we talked about last week, where he gives us, he's given us what we need. It's not that he doesn't, it's whether we believe. But he gives us what we need to get past our unbelief. The issue is whether we accept what he shows us, so that we can see him and believe. If a person gets the truth and they're not believing it, it's not because they can't, it's because they won't. In Romans it says, "For since the creation of the world, its invisible attributes, its eternal power, its divine nature have been clearly seen." Clearly seen by whom? Clearly seen by those who live above. Then and now, being understood through what has been made. And here's the part that rung in my ear, so that they are without excuse. They are without excuse. See, I'm without excuse if I say, well, I don't have enough. I don't have enough evidence to believe that Jesus Christ is God. That's not true. I beg to differ with you on the basis of what the Word of God has to say. Because the Bible says we have enough. People give excuses. You and I are here today. We may have given excuses at one time. But there had to come a time in our life when we said, no, time out for excuses. I need Jesus in my life. The Bible says people are without excuses. Your relatives, your friends, your neighbors that you talk with, they are without excuse. Because God gives us enough evidence to believe. That's what Jesus was saying here. Well, let me run on quickly here. Those who come to Jesus experience true fulfillment because he has promised. God has made promises throughout the Bible. He has promised that he will satisfy everyone who believes in him. He has promised. In verse 35, Jesus says, if you come to me, he says, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me, I'm going to satisfy you. You're not going to be thirsty. Your life is going to be satisfied if you come to me and believe. We know in his promises, God does not break his promises. The Bible says that all his promises are yes in Christ Jesus. Well, that's a promise. He said you're going to be satisfied. Well, why am I not satisfied? Well, maybe you haven't come to Jesus. Maybe you haven't believed what he said. In verse 37, he said, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. The Father gives people to Jesus. And all that he gives will come to Jesus. See, the Father and Jesus work in conjunction, in cooperation, to bring people to life. Well, how does the Father give people to Jesus? Well, jump down with me to verse 44. Verse 44, it says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Draws him. See, the Father gives people by, and I love this, the Father gives people by drawing them to Jesus. And he says that all who believe in him as the bread of life, as the source of sustenance, as the one who gives life, everybody that comes, he gives them to Jesus to make them into children of God and fill their lives with eternal life. So God had a plan. What's his plan for giving us life? Well, his plan is Jesus. And when we come to him, he says, you are going to be satisfied. Well, why isn't my life satisfied? Because I haven't given my life to Jesus. See, I think it's a great gift to be drawn to Jesus by the Father's love. I also think that it's a great gift to be called out of darkness, of the darkness of sin and despair, and into the marvelous light of Jesus as Redeemer. I think that's a great gift. I think it's a great gift to be given eternal life because of belief in Jesus Christ. I think it's a great gift for the Father to draw us, pull us in, to compel us to come to Jesus. I was taken to Jeremiah 31, verse 3, where it says, the Lord appeared to him long ago, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. God keeps on loving. You know, God cannot, and I'm using a double negative, but God cannot not love. He has to love. He can't help himself. He has to love. Why is that? Because he is love. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Love that just won't quit. And then he said, because I love you that much in 31:3, therefore I have drawn you out of darkness I have pulled on your life. I have drawn you out with my kindness. God is a kind God. He's a gracious and merciful God. And he hasn't left people where they are without giving them an opportunity to come to where he wants them to be. Draws us out. And then he says in verse 4, I included this because I love it, that I will build you again, and you will be rebuilt, O virgin Israel. That's amazing. Why is it amazing? Because these are people who had turned their backs on God. And God said, I'm still loving on you. I'm still drawing you. And I'm calling you a virgin again. Isn't that amazing? Says you will take up your tambourines again, and you will go out to the dances of the revelers. Y'all will throw a party. Don't you love it? You gotta love it. You gotta love it. Our lesson is this: we are drawn to God by his love, period. God doesn't beat a person to make them come to him. God doesn't wear you down. He doesn't put you in a chokehold. He doesn't want us coming like that. He doesn't do that. Us loving God is a choice. We are drawn to him by his love. Because of the unconditional love of Father God revealed through Jesus, we are compelled to come to Jesus and believe. See, coming to Jesus is a response to Father God's initiative to draw us into a relationship with him. It's him taking the initiative, not us taking the initiative. We always talk about we were looking for God. Well, the truth is God was looking for you first. Nobody takes the initiative to look for God. God does. No one is righteous. No, not one. No one, Romans says, no one seeks after God. God seeks after us. And then we respond to him. That's the way the relationship works. God comes after us first. We need to get our theology straight, our thinking straight. Because we're not as good as we think we are. No one seeks after God apart from God seeking after him on earth. Father God is the great initiator. The one who is love compels those who need love to come. See, when we come, he builds us up and rebuilds our lives. Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. I'm your source of sustenance. You need me. You need to be built up. You need to be rebuilt. And I'm the one to do it. See, we don't come to Jesus on the condition that we've gotten things together in our life. Excuse me. We come to him because we can't get it together and we don't have it together. We come because we can't feel the cracks in our hearts. We can't undo the scarlet stains left by sin. We can't do that. Father God draws us. And he takes our messed up lives, our beat up lives, our broken lives, and he says, yeah, you rejected me, but I have come close to you because I love you. Come to me. Come to Jesus, and I'll feed your life with a love that will fulfill you like you have never had. See, it is the love of God that compels us to come to Jesus. And people try to fill their lives with other things that just is not going to cut it. See, we have a choice. And no one is neutral according to the kingdom standards. You know, there's no in between. There's no middle ground. There isn't. not in God's economy. You are either in the kingdom or you're not in the kingdom. It's one or the other. We have a choice. All are compelled to choose Jesus or reject the love of God that is revealed in Jesus. But the Father says, everybody that comes, everybody that I draw and believe in Jesus, they're going to have eternal life. God revealed his love. God, the Bible says, God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. We all know one and only son. We know that, right? John 3:16. Yeah, he makes a resounding crescendo of his love through Jesus Christ. And that's why Mary's saying, we said we read that 2 weeks ago in our responsive reading, that was Mary's song. When the angel came and said, Mary, you're going to carry the Savior of the world. And Mary was so excited that she had to break out in verse. She had to sing to the Lord. She sang because of the kindness and the mercy and love of God that was demonstrated to her and to the world in the giving of Jesus. And she would be the one, the bearer of the Messiah. Of the Messiah. And that's why the angel sang. Because the Savior of the world had been born. They couldn't help but sing. The Savior was born. And Father God says, come. He says, come. He says, come to the crib and see my love. You want to see the love of God? You look at Jesus. Not just in the crib, but you come and you look to the crib, but you look and see the one born King of the Jews. But make sure that you come to the cross and the empty tomb. And you see the King crucified and raised from the dead to save the world and give eternal life to all who believe. See, Christmas isn't just about baby, but it's about that baby come, grown, die, and living again. Well, Jesus promises this too in verse 37b. He said, look, those who come to me, I will certainly not cast out. Not going to cast them out. Those who come to Jesus never have to fear being put out by Jesus. Never have to fear being kicked out by Jesus. Jesus says, if you come to me, I'm going to give you eternal life. And when I give you eternal life, I'm not going to take it back. See, Jesus' promise, it's a promise of security. I feel very secure when I read verses like this. I feel a sense of contentment and a sense of peace when I read verses like this. Now, is it left up to me? No. Left up to me, yeah, I'm definitely getting kicked out. But Jesus said, no, the one who comes to me, no, I am not going to kick you out. I am not going to. And he says, I certainly. No, no. I'm definitely not going to do it. I am not going to cast you out. See, the Father draws what we believe. And Jesus keeps. He keeps. See, he's not going to cast you out. Cast out of what? Well, we never have to wonder or worry whether God is going to kick us out of the family. Why not? If you're in the family, the Lord doesn't renege. He doesn't kick you out of the family. Some people think that. I don't think the question is whether you get kicked out. I think the question we may have to wrestle with is whether we're really in the family or not. Because I read a verse like this, and he says, if you come and I've given life, I'm not going to cast you. And in light of context, Jesus is saying those who come to him will never be cast out of eternal life. God gives eternal life and he doesn't take it back. Security of eternal life is assured through one relationship with Jesus. He is relationship. You know, I could never not be father to my children. They will always be my children. Always. Always. They can deny me all they want to. I'm still dad. Always. If it's so like that on the earth, all the more in the family of God. Father God draws us. Why? So that he can give us to Jesus. And why does he give us to Jesus? So that Jesus can give us eternal life. And that eternal life that he gives us, Jesus says, I'm never going to cast you out. He is the one who gives it, and he is the one who sustains it, and the only one who can take it away. But he assures us here that he never will. In John 10:26, it says, but you do not believe. See, again, the problem is not whether we can get eternal life, whether we can rest in these things and have confidence in these things. The question is whether we believe. Jesus was talking to some people in John 10. He said, you do not believe. Why not? Because you are not of my sheep. You really don't belong to me. You haven't believed. You haven't come to me. Because he said in verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. And I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they will never perish. In fact, they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. They can't take them. I have you in my hand, the Father has you in his hand, and nobody can take you out of our hand. It says, I and the Father are one. Eternal life is secure for those who have really come to Jesus Christ. Well, not only that, and the last main point here is this, those who come to Jesus experience true fulfillment because the Father has determined, Father God has a will. He has determined that those who believe will be resurrected to a new life. Will be resurrected to a new life. In verses 38 and 40, so we read, he says, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Well, what is that will? Verse 39, this is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given to me, I remove nothing, but raise it up on the last day. And then in verse 40, for this is the will of my Father. This is what the Father wants. This is what the Father has determined. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son, what do you mean beholds the Son? Everyone who sees Jesus, you see who Jesus really is. You see that he is very God, the very man, and that he died on the cross for your sins. Everyone who takes a good look at Jesus and comes to him, not because of what they can get from him temporally, but who come to him because of who he is and the reason that he came to die for their sins. Everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. See, Jesus was laser beam focused on doing and finishing the Father's will. Jesus wasn't just looking at what happens on this earth. He wasn't just looking at changing water into wine and healing sick people and raising people from the dead and opening the eyes of the blind. Those were all signs, miracles to point people to himself. So that they could see that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And that he came ultimately to die and be raised from the dead so that those who come to him would be raised from the dead too.
And Jesus never got off course. The Father's will, Jesus was driven to accomplish the Father's will. And that will here was the giving of life to all who come, keeping them secure, and raising them up to eternal life. I love that. That gives me some peace and some security, some confidence to run on and look ahead without fear and doubt and frustration in my soul. See, it's the Father's will that once a person comes to Jesus, he is made secure for an everlasting life. Did we see that? Once a person comes to Jesus, he is made secure. Jesus said, well, you come to me, I lose nothing. You're secure. There's no way that I can lose something that I have. There's no way that you can be lost if you have truly come to Jesus and believed him to be the bread of your life. Jesus said, I am going to raise him up on the last day. What's the last day? Jesus doesn't go into it here, but they knew what he was talking about there. And just a little glimpse of it. The Bible talks about the last days, plural. We've been in the last days since Jesus came and died and rose and went back to heaven. We've been in the last days. God's plan has been unfolding. The last days came when Jesus came and was raised from the dead. But let me just say this, that there's going to be a grand finale. Can I put it like that? Yeah. There's going to be a grand finale. A day when the trumpet is going to sound. And a great getting up, glory, hallelujah day. Because the last day is referring to the day in which he will raise to new life all those who have come to him and believe during their lifetime on this earth that he is the only bread of life. Jesus said, I'm going to raise him up on the last day. See, Jesus wasn't like us. He wasn't like us. Us preachers get sometimes when you focus people just on the here and now. That's not it. No, Jesus was looking to the Father's ultimate conclusion of his plan for all those who will come to Christ. The Father has determined that all those who come to Jesus in belief will, and believe in him, will be resurrected. You can put a stake in the ground. You can accept it as a great gift from the Lord this Christmas. That if you come to Jesus and you believed in him, you will be resurrected. When you come to Jesus, you know where you're going. Do you know where you're going after you die? Well, when you come to Jesus, you know. If you're a reader of Scripture and you believe what Scripture is saying, you know where you're going. I know where I'm going. Well, how can you know where you're going? How can you say that? Isn't that arrogant? No, it's not arrogant. It's truth. It's truth. And we need to hold and cling to the truth. That's what the Father wants. He wants us to have that confidence. And we're going to be raised. You know where you're going after death. Because the Father has already made that decision. We don't know all that is going to take place, but we know it's going to be a great day in the morning, right? We know it's going to be better than what's on this side, right? Sometimes we live as though what's on this side is better than what's on that side. Because we cling to this side so much. But Jesus says, no, that's not my, this is not it. This is not my ultimate goal. The Father has already determined, he's already made the decision that we're going to get up and we're going to get brand new bodies. And we don't need to fear. If you're fearing today, you don't need to. You may choose to listen to this side or not hear what the scripture is saying, but you don't have to live in fear. Because Jesus has promised that those who come to him will not be lost. I'm not going to lose anybody. I'm not going to go through all this. I'm not going to give my life on the cross for your sins and rise again and you accept me and then lose you? Impossible. It's not going to happen. I'm not going to do that. I will lose nobody who truly comes to me. That's his promise. See, we can live with confidence in eternal and the eternal life to come after death on the basis of the promise made by Jesus Christ himself. It's what he has said. Notice verse 39. He said, I'm going to raise it up on the last day. Verse 40, I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 44, I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 54, I will raise him up. Verse 56, 58, he who eats this bread will live forever. I think Jesus wanted to make the message clear, don't you? I'm going to raise you up. You thinking about this bread that gets moldy and whatnot, and I'm trying to give you eternal life. He wanted to make the message clear. Those who come to him will live forever. You don't need to fear death because I'm going to raise you up. I think there's too many of us living in fear. We are locked down in our hearts and minds. And Jesus says, that's not the life I had planned for you. I don't care what's going on around you. See, this is the promise and the purpose of Jesus coming. His death and his resurrection so that we can have eternal life. He makes all things new. He's going to make all things new. No more death, no more crying, no more cancer, no more coronavirus.
Amen.
No more conflict, senseless killing. But you know, I wonder if Jesus would just want us, even in the midst of all the mess that's going on, I wonder if our Lord would want us to still have joy. Is anybody wonder that? Like I do? I wonder if he still wants us to have joy in the midst of all that's going on. And I wonder if he still wants us to fix our eyes on him and still be coming to him and experience the peace of Christ that surpasses understanding. It doesn't make sense for us to have peace in the midst of what's going on, right? Well, yes, it does. Why does it? Because Jesus Christ gave his life for us and he said, if you come to me, then I'm going to give you eternal life. See, those who come to Jesus and believe in him have been given a great gift. And that gift is eternal life. And those who come to Jesus have, in fact, a wonderful life. Because he is the bread of life. He is the bread of life. He is our source and our sustenance. And in him we have what we need for fulfillment in this life, and for the life to come. There's great hope. Great hope and great assurance when Jesus has you. And I think that's part of the problem. Jesus doesn't have some people. There's great security when Jesus has you. And there's great anticipation and expectation of what is to come when Jesus has you. Now I wonder, does he have you today? Does he have you today? Have you accepted Jesus as the source and sustenance of your life? Have you believed that he is God's Son, that he gave his life on the cross for you? Have you come to him? That means believing in him, accepting him. Accepting the fact that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, that your life is empty without him. He said, you can come. And his promise is that when you come, he will give you the eternal life, which is himself.
Why don't you bow with me and pray? And there might be someone who has never truly come to Jesus. You may have come to church, but you may not have come to Jesus. You may not have believed in him by faith, accepted what the Bible says about him, that he is truly God and truly man. He was that when he was born, when he was in Mary's womb. He was truly God and truly man. When he was born, he was truly God and truly man. When he walked the earth, did all the miracles that he did, when he spoke the truth, he was truly God and truly man. When he died on the cross, he was truly God and truly man. When he got up from the grave, he was truly God and truly man. He's coming back, truly God and truly man. For all those who have believed in him. Have you believed in him today? If you haven't, you can. You can accept Jesus Christ and take him at his word. He says, if you believe in him, that you will be fulfilled in your life. But you gotta believe. You gotta accept him. You gotta come. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You can believe today. Make that confession. Agree with God that you need a Savior and that you have sinned. Repent. Turn from living the way that you've been living and accept the eternal life that God wants to give you. Won't you do that today? Won't you make that choice today to accept the love of God in Christ? Maybe you're without a church family. You need to be connected. You can make the Agape Bible Fellowship your church family. Just make that commitment before the Lord. Lord, I want to make the Agape Fellowship my family. Thank you for making me a member of the family of God through Jesus. God, I want to be a part of this whole congregation. Won't you make that decision today? Won't you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank you so much. Father, we're thankful that you are a God who draws people to yourself. We're thankful, Lord, that you know that we won't come to you on our own. Thank you that you know we need you. Thank you that you're always seeking after us. Even those who know you, Lord, you're seeking to take us to greater depths and breadths in our relationship with you. So help us, Father, to hear the voice of our Savior and accept what you have to give. Lord, help us. As we work through life and deal with the things that are going on in our hearts, maybe the emptiness sometimes, maybe the loneliness, maybe the lack of fulfillment, Father, help us. Help us to look to Jesus and trust that some way, somehow, you will be true to your promise. And we will never be thirsty, never hungry, that you will fulfill our lives. Father, I pray for each one that can hear today, that they would hear your voice calling them to come. Thank you for calling us to come. May you be exalted as you rebuild our lives. In Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Maybe you're here today, and maybe you made a decision to come to Jesus, to believe in him. To accept what he says, that is, that about himself, that he is the bread of life, and that he gives life to all those who come. Eternal life is not something that you can earn, it's something given, and it's given by the one who is life himself. So you made that decision. Once you come, give your life to him. He will save you. Once you make a decision, if you're without a church home, to make them God very vital for your church family. The Lord says he will fulfill your life. If you make a decision, let me know. T-Banks 43233@gmail.com.
T-Banks. 4323@gmail.com. Only trust. Won't you stand with me? Only trust.
Thank you.